With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Joining us now, one of the top analysts in all of the National Football League, also breaks down college football about as well as anybody, our good friend Charles Davis from Fox in the NFL Network. And Charles, good to have you on the airwaves.
Hey, thanks a lot. Good to talk with you again.
Yeah, as always. And, you know, normally this would be such an upbeat interview. Super Bowl week is kicked off and the hype and hoopla has begun. But I don't think there's any escaping it, Charles. You know, the Kobe Bryant tragedy, it's kind of eclipsed the beginning of Super Bowl week, hasn't it?
Yeah, it certainly has. And look, the Super Bowl will be played. It always is. You know, save a force majeure probably on Super Bowl Sunday. But you're exactly right. I mean, Kobe Bryant being a worldwide celebrity and phenomenon and, you know, respected for what he did on the basketball court and I think what he was doing and where he was headed post-basketball life, so much so that, you know, Kobe Bryant was able to, I don't know that eclipse is the right word. I don't think that anyone has totally forgotten. But he, you know, he overcame something, a serious, you know, mistaken judgment, for lack of a better term, that really hurt someone else in our beautiful human race. That, you know, but still, when this all happened, that really was in the back burner. And I don't think it's because people just want to put it there and leave it there, but I think they saw how he went ahead and lived life from that point forward. And that's just one of the great, when I say great, let me rephrase that. That's just something that you just don't see every day, you know, someone who can overcome something like that. So a lot of things going on, a lot of emotions out there. You know, my son's 22. This really affected him because of, you know, watching Kobe and the whole deal. But yeah, this is bigger than just, you know, getting ready for a football game. That's for sure.
Yeah, and Charles, you brought up the situation in Colorado, and there were never any charges. And, you know, I know my intention certainly isn't to go there now, but it is part of Kobe's history. I think that's been a sidebar debate here in the last couple of days, because some people have gone there. And when is the right time for those of us in the media with the power of the microphone, the power of the pen, to broach a subject like that? I would say you got to wait a while.
I would say that you can, it's part of it. You know, I don't know that waiting, I know that we had a Washington Post reporter that was suspended because of tweets that talked about it. I think the sensitivity came in, when exactly are you able to say that this is something, you know, that we're going to sit and debate for X amount of time? If you talk about it as just being part of the resume, right, your bio, where your life has been, a piece of your life, I think people have broached it already and as you know, and it's been covered. I just don't think people would be taken aback if you said, well, forget everything else he did, this is what we're going to focus on, because I've seen some really, really touching tributes, and a decent number of them, that was a piece of the tribute, you know, was, hey, there was a bad time frame in here. This is what happened. This is what went down. You know, charges were brought to him. You know, charges, I don't know if dismissed is the right word. I'm not sure of the legal vernacular, but there was a settlement in the case, especially in the civil part of it, that he had to go through and what she had to go through. Okay, let's not forget there was a person there that was also involved. And I think in his own statement, he may have covered it best when he said, I thought it was consensual. She did not see it the same way, and I'm paraphrasing. I'm not going to get it totally right, but it's okay to talk about it as part of who Kobe Bryant was. I just think that it's going to be very difficult in this time frame where that's all we're talking about, because he lived a fuller life than that and accomplished fuller things than that. And look, a man was taking his daughter to go play in a basketball game that he was coaching her team. That tells you about a piece of family that should never be forgotten.
Charles Davis, our guest here on News Talk 830 WCCO. He's with Fox and the NFL Network. We'll be in South Florida later in the week for Super Bowl 54. I'll be down there as well on Thursday. I called it earlier on these airwaves, Charles, a Buddy Holly moment. I think this Kobe tragedy will grow as time goes on, and we can't forget the eight others. That's one thing I think most people have done a good job of focusing on the others as well.
Yeah.
So a Buddy Holly moment. And then if you want to shrink it down to sports, I think about Thurman Munson, Roberto Clemente, and Payne Stewart. Am I in the ballpark here?
Yeah, you are. And you know, for my lifetime, I wasn't around for Buddy Holly, Richie Valens, and the Big Bopper. But you made it, you brought up a really great point. This time we know everyone who's on the flight. You know, there's pictures of the pilot. No one's ever called it. To my, you know, in my lifetime, I've never once seen the pilot's name that was flying the plane when Buddy Holly, Richie Valens, and the Big Bopper went down. That led to The Night the Music Died, right? You know, the song American Pie by Tom McLean. You know, Thurman Munson, I remember being at home and seeing the news flash that came in over the TV when he's practicing takeoffs and touchdowns on a day off back home in Canton, Ohio. You know, you talk about Payne Stewart. I was the director of the PGA Tour event, the Disney Golf Classic, the day, and Payne missed the cut that last tournament. He missed the cut in his hometown there in Orlando, you know, his hometown where he was living with his wife and family, and then was headed towards the next event, which I believe was the Tour Championship. And he and his lawyer, Robert Fraley, and a couple, I think a golf course designer and others were on the flight, and we lost him. So, yeah, I think that those moments definitely. And there was one moment that I recall that didn't result in a death, but it was, to me, along similar lines because we thought it was headed towards death. That was Magic Johnson's announcement that he had HIV. Because at that time, the death sentence was, once you were diagnosed with it, it was about 10 years you were expected to live. And I remember we all watched the screen that day. I was in Colorado Springs working for the Olympic Committee thinking, oh, my God. Magic Johnson, who I adored, you know, he was my hero. He's going to be dead in 10 years, and it's going to be awful. He's going to be in a wheelchair and frail. And it didn't happen that way, but still that moment felt like that. So, yeah, I think you're totally on track with those things. And I actually used the, you know, Buddy Holly and Big Bopper Richie Valens with my son the other day and said, this is what it feels like to me. So, well, I guess we kind of mind-melded there a little bit.
Yeah, and you know, you brought up Magic, and I remember doing – about 8 hours of radio that day with Larry Fitzgerald, a guy you know very well. And I had the same reaction you did. It's like, oh, my goodness, we're going to lose Magic. And then I thought about it Sunday. I said, holy cow, Magic has now outlived Kobe. And you just don't know which way everything's going to go, do you?
No, you really don't. And there's no way we thought that was going to happen when we saw it. As I said, back then it was a 10-year deal at most. And it was a horrible-looking death at the end. You know, you lost weight. You were frail. You were in a wheelchair. The whole thing. And I remember thinking, oh, my God, I can't believe I'm going to see Magic Johnson like that down the road. And fortunately, we're not. And that has not happened. But as you said, and Magic Johnson's still here, and Kobe Bryant is not at the age of 41. No way anyone would have thought something like that at that time.
All right, back to the toy department, the actual games themselves, Charles, and I guess they're a great diversion in times like this. I want to ask you about the Minnesota Vikings before we get into the Super Bowl. Gary Kubiak now the official offensive coordinator. Andre Patterson and Adam Zimmer will be the co-defensive coordinators for the Purple. Do you like those moves by Mike Zimmer?
Well, I definitely like the moves of Andre and Adam being co-coordinators. I think Andre Patterson's a guy who is – worked so hard in his career and developed some really, really top-notch players. And to get this opportunity to be a co-defense coordinator in the league is wonderful. Adam Zimmer, of course, no one's going to know Mike better than Adam, and Adam's worked his butt off. And this isn't strictly a nepotism, let me just give you a title thing. He's going to know Mike better than Adam, and Adam's worked his butt off. And this isn't strictly a nepotism, let me just give you a title thing. He's worked his way into this spot. I don't know 100%, but I'm still guessing that Mike Zimmer will retain defensive play calling, you know, privileges, and will still be doing that, which I think is always good for any team if Mike Zimmer is calling the defenses. So I like those moves for them very well.
Now, the Super Bowl is back in South Florida, the 11th time the game will be played in Miami, but it took about a 10-year hiatus because we had that Miami monsoon in Super Bowl 41, and then you had Super Bowl 44. But the NFL said, hey, you want us back. You've got to upgrade the venue, and they did. They put $500 million into it. There's a canopy, and I think Miami really is an ideal spot for a Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's a wonderful place. The only negative that I would have is that some of the things are spread out a little bit,
yeah,
which you're going to have in certain cities. You know, when Dallas had it, they had the freak ice storm and incredibly unseasonably cold weather. I remember a news station doing a report the next year, the entire week of the Super Bowl. 1 year later, here we are, and it was exceptional weather in Dallas. They just caught a bad year. But when things are spread out and you get horrible weather like that, it makes for a very tough one. For Miami, the worst you're probably going to have is rain. So they'll be okay. And as you pointed out, the upgrades to the stadium on game day, I think for the people going to the game, I think with all they've done, I believe 95% of the seats are actually covered now, even though the roof is open over the top. So it'll still be an outdoor game, but for people inside, even if it rains, for the most part, the vast majority of people will still be dry and comfortable and be able to watch the game, and that's a credit to Miami getting that done.
You know, you brought up Super Bowl 45 in the Metroplex, and I think that's where I first met you, Charles. I remember that vividly, too, because, you know, a Metroplex of 5 million people was crippled. They didn't have any salt trucks. They didn't have any sand like they do here in the Twin Cities. So you could not get around. And, boy, the Super Bowl took a backseat to the weather. It really was unbelievable.
It was unbelievable, and they were very fortunate because all things you talked about, now you're absolutely backed up where you can't get a cab. Remember, we didn't have Uber at that time. Isn't that amazing? It wasn't that long ago, but there was no Uber.
9 years ago.
Right? You know, you didn't have any of that. People were trying to get a taxi places. If you called for a taxi, it could be hours before the taxi literally came to get you. And then they might go, we can't get there. And that could be 10 miles away. You know, so it was like that. That was difficult. A lot of times you just got to one spot. And you remember that big chunk of ice? Because on game day, it actually warmed. It started to warm. And there's a big chunk of ice that actually fell off of the stadium.
Yes.
And luckily, no one got hurt. They had a lot of things that went way wrong there. To me, it's a wonderful place. It's one of the better stadiums in the league, if not the best still, even after 10 years. But because of what happened with the weather, they had the ticket scam, they had some other things, it may take a little while before Dallas gets back into the rotation. If Indianapolis had Miami's weather, they might never move it out of Indianapolis, because everything there is a walk.
Yeah.
Like the vast majority of it, you walked everywhere, and it was right there, perfectly located. New Orleans has a lot of walking components built into it. That's why another reason why it's popular, besides the fact that it's New Orleans and you can party no matter what. So there's so many different things that go into it. Minneapolis, I thought, was a wonderful place and a wonderful venue. Wasn't too far away from much of anything. Problem is, you're in February, and what's your temperature right now?
We're at 19.
Yeah, that's not ideal for people who want to do other things. But as far as a stadium and game day, you're not going to beat it. It's wonderful.
Charles, they've got Skyway Golf here. What are you talking about?
I was there for the last one in Minneapolis, and that was that New England Philadelphia incredible Super Bowl. But if you are coming from out of town, don't bring your golf clubs if you're thinking about playing outdoors. Only if you can get an appointment and play the indoors.
That is a great point. All right, we're going to let you go, Charles. Always great to share the airwaves with you, and we will talk soon. Maybe I'll bump into you down in South Florida.
I certainly hope so. You take care of yourself, and look forward to seeing you.
All right, thanks so much. He's Charles Davis with the Fox Sports and the NFL Network. Nobody knows the Shield better than Charles. And
this episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.